领先人才培训工程教学系列丛书，英语高级口译资格证书考试，高级口译教程第二版，梅德林编著，由上海外语音像出版社录制出版，第二盒。
Passage 2. English Chinese Interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're aware of an emergence of a new and exciting mode of information economy driven by networked technology. What I want to say is that the computer internet is transforming business operation patterns and contributing to what is called the new information economy. An immediate consequence of this profound change is the simplification of business transactions. Take, for example, the way that I recently bought my car. First, I went to an internet site listing cars, their features, and their prices, both wholesale and retail. I did all my research, and then I went to an auto dealership and asked for this particular price. The transaction lasted less than 30 minutes. No hassle. Easy. Simple. I was informed. I went in. I was an informed buyer. It's not that none of these things is happening. It's the importance of these things compared to what we have been used to for the last 200 years. Thanks to technology, something very important is happening to the US economy. Indeed, something new and different is happening around us. We are able to grow faster without triggering inflation than we thought possible. Of course, there's the downside. The new economy does not mean we will never have another recession or even a deflationary spiral. It does not mean inflation is dead. It does not mean stock prices will stay at their lofty levels or that there will never be another bear market. Nobody is promising you a rose garden. I anticipate dislocation, volatility, and uncertainty accompanying the emergence of the new information economy. But because of what I view as higher productivity, I see the possibility of sustained economic growth without the threat of inflation, more jobs, and higher wages. The emergence of electronic business has created enormous and exciting challenges for business managers. Internet commerce immediately opens global and more efficient markets. I would challenge many people to tell me where it has not brought about greater efficiency in markets. We, as consumers, have benefited from that. Of course, there are companies that have been hurt by that, which is the other side of the story. In any case, the Internet will transform the way companies do business, and those companies that do not address that issue will not be the market winners.
Unit 5. Constant address. Text for interpretation. Passage 1. Chinese English interpretation. Text interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
各位嘉宾女士们、先生们，初秋时节的北京，万木葱茏，金风送爽。今天，第22届万国邮政联盟大会将在这里隆重开幕。这是万国邮政联盟成立125年和中国加入万国邮政联盟85年来，首次在中国举行这样的大会。我代表中国政府和中国人民， 并以我个人的名义向大会致以衷心的祝贺，向与会的各国代表和来宾表示诚挚的欢迎。在人类进入21世纪这样的时刻，大家共同讨论面向新世纪的邮政发展战略和行动纲领，其意义十分重要。我相信这次大会将在国际邮政史上留下光荣的一页。现代科学技术正在突飞猛进，世界多极化和经济全球化的趋势继续发展，人类社会的进步正处在重要的历史关头，各国都面临着机遇和挑战。和平与发展仍然是我们这个时代的潮流。实现世界的持久和平与普遍繁荣，需要各国人民共同努力。邮政应成为致力于世界和平和发展的崇高事业的一支重要力量，在推动建立公正合理的国际新秩序中发挥积极的作用。邮政活动深入千家万户，通达五洲四海，对促进人类社会的政治、经济、科技、文化、教育等事业的发展具有重要的作用。日新月异的现代信息技术给国际邮政事业的发展注入了新的活力。邮政的信息传递、物品运送、资金流通三项基本功能，其内涵正在日新月异的丰富和拓宽。邮政事业有着广阔的发展前景。邮政事业要适应当今经济发展和社会进步的新形态，发挥更大的作用，必须进行体制改革和技术创新。各国的经济发展水平、历史文化传统和社会制度不同，邮政发展水平也不同，进行改革不可能有一种统一的模式。各国应根据本国的实际情况，本着有利于社会需求、促进社会进步和普遍服务的目的，积极进行改革的探索和实践。中国政府历来重视邮政事业的发展，经过新中国成立50年，特别是改革开放20年来的锐意进取，中国邮政事业有了长足的发展。一个沟通城乡、覆盖全国、连通世界的邮政体系已经形成，并正在向现代化迈进。中国实行了全行业的邮电分营，中国邮政已成为国民经济体系中独立运营的一个部门。具有悠久历史的中国邮政焕发出勃勃生机。我们将继续推进中国邮政的现代化建设，使它能更好地为中国人民和世界人民服务。发展国际邮政事业，应坚持平等协商、求同存异、相互支持、互利合作，这样才能共谋发展、共求繁荣。积极帮助发展中国家克服邮政建设中面临的困难，努力缩小发展中国家与发达国家在邮政领域的差距，应成为国际邮政合作的当务之急。中国政府愿意在相互尊重、平等互利的基础上，加强与万国邮政联盟各成员国在邮政领域的交流与合作，为促进邮政领域高新技术的开发和应用，促进国际邮政事业的发展，做出自己应有的贡献。最后，我预祝第22届万国邮政联盟大会圆满成功，谢谢各位。
Passage 2 English Chinese Interpretation Text Interpreting Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you for inviting me to the International Conference on Leadership. I feel privileged to have been asked to be with the people of Tsinghua University and address the issue of the importance of working together. It is always a pleasure to be among the best and the brightest in an atmosphere of learning. The university setting is the best incubator that exists for the inception and sharing of ideas. the agenda you set forth here for the next 2.5 days is one that goes to the heart of what is exciting and important to business and industry today. I've been asked to share my thoughts with you today about moving from me thinking to we thinking. My view is simple. Individuals add, team players multiply. Tsinghua undergrads are fortunate in that more and more your university is encouraging teamwork in your casework, stimulating the transition from me to we. At Wilson, we too are making great strides in breaking down the psychological and organizational barriers that result from me thinking. Even though we have more yet to do, we have been reaping exciting rewards by effectively using work teams to re-engineer processes to gain improvements in costs, quality, and response times. More than 5 years ago, we began gathering the leaders of all Wilson divisions together monthly for the purpose of integrating separate efforts of authority, sharing best practices, and seeking creative ways to use our resources cross-functionally. Also, we've been using work teams to shorten new product development cycles, to implement demand flow manufacturing to shorten delivery cycles to customers and reduce inventory, and to encourage innovation in all business processes. The cumulative result of these efforts is the healthy and sustained business growth in the last 5 years. Our success shows in earnings per share that have grown at an average compound annual rate of 24%. Our operating margins have increased by more than 65%. We have reduced working capital investments by about 56%, increased inventory turnover by nearly 43%, reduced outstanding receivables by over 15%, and saved $150 million in purchasing costs via a corporate-wide strategic sourcing initiative. These efforts have persuaded 14 key analysts who follow the company to recommend that investors buy our stock. But as much as I enjoy talking about Wilson, I'm not here to boast about the successes that were made possible through teamwork. The truth is that while we at Wilson think we are doing unusually well with what we are doing, how we are doing it is not unusual in the business and manufacturing industries today. Increasingly, U.S. companies are becoming relationship-focused. We seek to be customer-driven. We want to partner with suppliers. We are moving from a manufacturing economy to a value-added, service-oriented economy. And at the heart of service are relationships, interpersonal relationships, intergroup relationships, and interdepartmental relationships. The ascendance of work teams in large U.S. organizations puts a new premium on the relationship of team members. In fact, emphasis on teamwork has long become the most frequently valued managerial competence in studies of organizations around the world. About half the Fortune 500 companies say they are using self-managed work teams and expect to expand their use in coming years. Teamwork, for many of us, is a big switch from how we're accustomed to functioning. And that's especially true for those of you at the beginning of your careers. Some people never get out of the individual contributor mode because they have limited expertise with the interpersonal skills required for team building. But the highly effective people of success are those who move from childlike dependence to independence, and then on to interdependence or win-win, we thinking. Teamwork really builds. If there's no trust and honesty among employees, and everyone is maneuvering based on what it might do for their own careers, you're not going to accomplish much. An old Oriental proverb that people with one mind will remove Mao Tse is true. Another way to consider this, individuals add, team players multiply. Of course, as the whole is never the sum of its parts, it may be greater or lesser, depending on how well the individuals work together. A good team leader is one who can create group synergy in order to pursue collective goals. If you're going to be a good boss, make sure that you support people around you and keep the group working well. That's an important lesson I learned from one of my former chief executive officers who held me accountable for my beliefs. In fact, there were times when he held my feet to the fire, but he never held a grudge against me for believing in something different from him. You're never too old to learn something new. There's plenty of research that proves that emotional intelligence skills can be learned, honed, and enjoyed at any stage in life. It's called the acquisition of wisdom, and it's a lifetime project. Remember this. Individuals add, team players multiply. Thank you, and good luck.
Extra text for practice. Passage 1. Chinese English interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
校长先生，同学们，老师们，女士们，先生们，我感谢布罗斯校长的邀请，使我有机会来到久负盛名的剑桥大学访问。能够与青年朋友们聚集一堂，共同讨论人类如何在新世纪里迎接挑战，共同创造更加美好的未来，我感到很高兴。剑桥大学是具有700年历史的世界著名学府，曾经培养出牛顿、培根、米尔顿、拜伦、达尔文等对人类进步事业做出杰出贡献的伟大科学家、思想家和诗人。今天，剑桥大学作为获得诺贝尔奖学者最多的大学，在世界高等学府中依然居于显要的地位。剑桥大学与中国交往的历史始于100多年前，那时剑桥大学开设了汉语课程，贵校已故的李约瑟博士在中国学术界享有很高的声名，他倾注毕生心血撰写的《中国科学技术史》是一部研究中国古代科学技术和文明成就的鸿篇巨制。100年来，许多中国学者不远万里到剑桥求学访问，中国杰出的数学家华罗庚就是其中最著名的代表。今天，中国学术界和剑桥大学继续保持着良好的交流与合作，这对加强中英人民的文化交流和友谊，推进科技和思想进步产生了积极的作用和影响。20世纪，人类创造的物质文明和精神财富超过了以往任何一个时代。令人遗憾的是，人类在这100年中也经历了前所未有的苦难，特别是遭受了2次世界大战的浩劫。但是世界的历史从来是由世界人民创造和书写的，因而正义总会战胜邪恶，光明总会战胜黑暗，进步总会战胜落后。人类必然会不断地克服艰难险阻，向着美好的未来开拓前进。在21世纪，世界人民虽然仍面临着许多严峻的挑战，可以肯定地说，人类也面临着巨大的发展机遇。只要世界人民同心协力，形成战胜一切挑战的巨大力量，人类文明进步的航船就必将乘风破浪的前进。世界是丰富多彩的，各国人民走过了不同的历史发展道路， 有着不同的文化背景、社会制度和价值观念，延续着不同的生活方式。这种多样性正是世界充满竞赛、活力和创新的根本原因。各国之间应该加强交流和了解，在相互尊重和平等相待的基础上共同前进，而不应让这种多样性成为阻碍各国人民携手共进的隔阂，更不应人为地从中挑起对立和冲突。尊重和发展世界文明的多样性，并在这种多样性中找到共同利益之所在，是人类社会向前发展的伟大动力。2550年前诞生的中国古代杰出的教育家、思想家孔子说过，逝者如斯夫，不舍昼夜。时光流逝不可逆转，人类美好的未来要靠一代代年轻人去创造。我希望中英两国青年顺应时代的要求和世界发展的潮流，刻苦学习，知难而进，为建设自己的国家，为维护世界和平，促进人类进步事业做出应有的贡献。谢谢各位。
Passage 2 English Chinese Interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, it is a privilege to participate in this conference. I have been asked this morning to share a few thoughts on the state of the pharmaceutical industry, and that's a pretty daunting task when you think about it. In an industry that is so fragmented, there is obviously likely to be fragmented opinion on how the industry is doing. So I'm not going to spend that much time today discussing the current state of the industry. Instead, what I'd like to do is focus on how Merck is doing. Specifically, I will describe how Merck is pursuing a growth strategy that is grounded in the belief that innovation is the key to global success. We, leaders in the industry, academia, and government, operate in a dynamic environment that is growing more complex and competitive. And this is particularly true in the pharmaceutical industry, which faces increasing globalization, competition, and rapid advances in science and technology. Within this environment, we make decisions that affect not only the men and women who work for us and with us, but also those who rely on our medicines and services worldwide. To succeed, we need a winning strategy that will make us unique and set us apart, and one that will give us a clear competitive advantage. At Merck, we believe that a commitment to innovation is important for global success today. Innovation as a strategy can be high risk, but as a means to grow and compete in today's global economy, innovation offers, I believe, the highest return. Because Merck is a research-based pharmaceutical company, it should come as no surprise that innovation plays a central role in our strategy for growth. Our strategy is to discover truly innovative medicines through breakthrough research that are unique in class and have proven health outcomes. We focus on medicines for diseases with large patient populations worldwide, taking advantage of new knowledge about pathways of disease and using that new knowledge to come up with a novel drug. And we look for drugs that are highly potent and highly specific and that are oral and once a day and therefore easy to use. Innovation has been the hallmark of Merck's success in the past, and we know that it will continue to be the driving force behind our success in the future. Speaking more generally, innovation has emerged as a theme for the new century. innovation is now driving the growth of the whole business and manufacturing industry. As companies realize, they must innovate to remain competitive in today's global market. In the last century, companies sought to strengthen their competitiveness by increasing productivity. Today, in addition to improving the bottom line through productivity, companies are aiming to grow the top line through investment in innovation. Also, governments all over the world are beginning to realize the value of innovation to the overall economic health and well-being of their nations. Innovation is indispensable to the progress of a nation. Just as your president, Mr. Deng Zeming, said, innovation is the soul of a nation's progress. The economic prosperity the United States enjoys today, despite the financial turmoil in the global market, shows that we are reaping the benefits of innovation. And I believe there is no better case study of the importance and value of innovation than the pharmaceutical industry. Pharmaceutical innovation holds that the greatest promise for providing long-term, sustainable solutions to our current and future health care challenges worldwide. Medicines not only offer hope to patients and their families, but also can be cost-effective alternatives to other forms of care, such as surgery and hospitalization. Merck has discovered more important new medicines than any other research organization in the world. In the past 3 years, we have introduced 12 new medicines and vaccines, more than in any similar period in our history. Of those 12, we introduced 5 in just the past 9 months. Last year, we strengthened our commitment to innovation by doubling the rate of increase of spending for basic and applied research compared to the rate in the year before. Clearly, innovation not only is driving growth at Merck, but also is benefiting millions of people worldwide. For patients, innovation by Merck has meant new medicines for HIV/AIDS, osteoporosis, asthma, migraine, and cardiovascular disease. For investors, it has translated into strong earnings growth and stock price appreciation. And for our employees, it has brought meaningful work and advancement opportunities. As Merck expands into new therapeutic areas and parts of the world, as we become even larger, more complex, and more geographically dispersed, we'll continue to face new difficulties and competitive scientific challenges. The key to overcoming those challenges and the key to our success is constant innovation. It is what we believe sets us apart and creates a true competitive advantage. The firm commitment to innovation defines the type of leadership we need at Merck to succeed in the 21st century. Thank you.